Bom dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and then, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 178. It is now the month of July. The year is going by fast. I don't know about you, but for me, it is going by fast. It feels like yesterday was New Year's Eve. And here we are now already starting in July. And what does that mean in July? That means that preseason camps are starting. They've already started for Sporting. They've started for Braga. They've started for Benfica. Porto, when I drop this episode on Friday, will be starting up that day. And obviously, this is all the build-up for when the Liga, and by the way, the Liga has a new name, which I'll tell you about in a minute, gets going in the month of August. And a lot to talk about here with the under-21s, a bit disappointment. Under-19s giving us a lot of hope with a good start at the Euro. We had the Liga draw results, going to tell you about the first week. And I get asked a lot of questions about people who want to go to Portugal, see a match, want to know when's the best time, want to know what's the best way to get tickets. They want to know advice. Well, I'm going to share that with you here on my podcast episode. Also talk about player and managers abroad. JJ, Jorge Jesus, reports said he was going to be Saudi Arabia manager. Next thing you know, he's now the new manager of Al Hilal, going back for a second time. Luis Castro is another manager in Saudi Arabia. He's now manager of Al Nassr, Cristiano Ronaldo's team. So I'll give you a rundown of all the Portuguese players and managers playing in Saudi Arabia. And, of course, talk about the Big Three report, the Braga report. And I'll also end this by telling you about where you can now find PortugueseSoccer.com on the new social media app Threads. But let me just start off first in talking about let me just start with the under-21. Obviously, a very big disappointment getting eliminated from the quarterfinals. As a whole, they did not play well in this Euro. A lot of people are starting to question under-21 manager Rui Jorge. He's been with the under-21s for a long time, and he's won well in qualifying. He gets them to the major tournaments, which is one of the important parts of the job. But obviously, when you think about the youth-level teams with Portugal, under 16, 17, 19, 21, things of that nature, the under-21s are the only ones that have yet to win an international trophy. And don't think that the Federation doesn't know that, and I don't think that wears on their mind. But, you know, what's also frustrating is that under-21 team had some really good talent. They got players like João Neves, who are going to pretty soon get a release clause of $100 million, Thiago Dantas, Tavares, pretty much your next set of superstars. And yet, all the interest we have in our Portuguese younger players, all the attention they get, we just don't have an easy time winning this under-21 tournament, where if you went by media publicity and the way teams are interested in some of these players, we would truly be the best under-21 team in the world. But at the end of the day, you got to take care of business on the pitch, and that type of business has not been taken care of, so that's a very big disappointment. The under-19 is at their Euro, and they're off to a good start. They beat Poland 2-0. And then they beat Italy, which is the other tough team in their group, 5-1, a convincing win with five different players getting on the scoreboard. And Portugal looks to be good positioned to be moving on to the elimination rounds. They still have one more match against Malta, and that's where I believe this under-19 Euro tournament is taking place. So that's that. But let me talk also about the schedule draw at this point. First off, we have a new name for the first division. It was obviously, I mean, most people know it as the Primeira Liga. We obviously remember a few years ago it was the Liga NOS. I believe that's a French telecommunications sponsor. And then these past, I guess, what was it, 2 years, we've had Liga Bwin, which obviously is a big gambling company. And now we have a new one, and that is Liga Betclic, which is also the sponsor of the Portuguese Basketball League, if I'm to understand correctly, because I follow the Portuguese Basketball League. And now they are sponsoring First Division football, where they hope to, of course, reach a much broader audience. And the draw took place pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Not like the confusion we had a few years ago where they had to redo it because they misread a 6 and a 9 and, you know, just got confused. But it came out the first week, which is going to be taking place the weekend of August the 13th. You've got some pretty good matchups. Boa Vista at home will be taking on Benfica. That's a pretty difficult match for Benfica to begin their title defense. You got Rio Ave with their fantastic manager, Luis Freire, at home to Desportivo do Chaves, a pair of northern teams in that one. Then you've got Feirense back in the first division after earning promotion. They will be taking on Casa Pia. Then you got Moreirense, the team that set the record last season in the second division for most points, winning it in a landslide in the second division. They are going to be taking on Porto. So Porto is going to be playing what was really clearly the best team in the second division. But like I always tell you about Portuguese teams, there are changes made in the summers with the squad. The best players are sold. Sometimes the best players go back to their original clubs on loan, and you have to start all over. So we'll see what type of team that Moreirense will have this year in the first division, the Liga Betclic, we should say. And of course, Porto will be making that short trips to Moreirense. Estrela Amadora, another team that made it via the playoff, the third team that got promoted from the second division. They'll be at home against Vitória de Guimarães. Then you got Sporting playing at home against Vizela. You have Arouca will be playing at home against Estoril, which is making a lot of noise with an interest in a lot of big players. You got Gil Vicente at home in Barcelos with their new manager that came over from Chaves. Gil Vicente at home to Portimonense. So Paulo Sérgio and Portimonense making the long trip. It's one of the longest trips, by the way, because remember, there's no teams from the islands, so everything is pretty much domestic mainland. And I believe the Feirense Portimonense trip to Gil Vicente, those are the longest trips. I think there's something like, if I read correctly, 550 kilometers. It's probably a good 5-hour bus ride. And then it all ends with Sporting Braga against Famalicão. And that is your schedule for the first week of the Liga Betclic season, Liga Portugal. People ask me all the time, what's the best way to get tickets? And let me give you my advice for the 25 years that I've been following PortugueseSoccer.com very closely. First off, August is a very tough month to go see matches in Portugal because it is an incredibly high peak tourist season, number one. Number two, because of that, in addition to already the fans that are there, it makes tickets very difficult, especially for Benfica, Porto, and Sporting. And I say it in that order because that is the difficulty in getting tickets if you want to go to the big three. If you're a sócio, then you obviously are in a much easier position. And I've been surprised to find out over the years that even though there are certain people that do not live in Portugal, year-round, that is, they still become sócios because they want to have those tickets. I know somebody that occasionally sells Benfica tickets, that's how people do it. But it's very difficult in August simply because it's a brand new season, a lot of hope, and that's just the way it goes in Portugal. People ask me then, well, what's the best time to go? Because unfortunately, going in the summers is the best time to go. And of course, it is. It's when the kids are out of school, it's when you're on vacation, probably, and depending on what work you do, it's probably the best time of the year. But I tell people that if there's an opportunity to go to Portugal any other time, especially like October, November, or maybe February, March, early April before Easter, that is probably the best time to go to. Number one, increase your opportunity to see one of the big teams play. It's going to be cold, maybe not necessarily winter cold, but it's going to be chilly sitting there in that type of weather, especially if it's raining in Portugal. But that's really the best time to go to Portugal. And then you have to get tickets. And tickets, again, are very difficult because a lot of clubs, especially the big ones, really allow their sócios or these fee-paying members that pay a monthly fee to be a member to get first crack at these tickets, especially the European tickets. So a lot of times when there are tickets that are made available to the public, they're small size, they're very difficult to get, and it's not necessarily a Taylor Swift concert trying to get tickets difficulty, but it's very difficult. It's very, very difficult to get tickets. And I tell people, though, that you increase your chances. A lot of times you can go to the stadium and buy tickets. I know people that have done that with Sporting and Porto. But at the end of the day, this is a very popular commodity in Portugal. But if you go in the off-peak, you stand a better chance. Now, here's the other thing you also have to learn if you go to Portugal that's very, very important. We know right now, because of the draw that took place a few days ago, and again, if you want the full draw, go to PortugueseSoccer.com or check out the social media. But we know at this point what teams are playing on what weekend. What we don't know right now is what time and what day they're playing. And what becomes a little bit trickier, especially if you're going to go see one of the clubs that are currently going to be playing in European competition, is that when they announce the Liga schedule for the first 4 to 5 weeks of the season, we won't know until a little bit later the schedules for European competition. And what happens is you know they're going to be playing Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, or maybe Monday, but you just don't know which day. And then the question is well, how do I find out? And the thing is, you don't know. Unfortunately, you don't know until they announce the schedule. Let me tell you what happened. I think it happened 2 years ago. There was a group of people. I can't remember if it was Toronto or Massachusetts. They were going to go to Santa Clara in the Azores, and obviously they're no longer in the first division. And a bunch of people booked a trip to go to the Azores. They were going to fly in on Saturday morning to go watch Benfica play later that night. What happened is that the European schedule came out later, and Benfica was going to start playing that Tuesday. So the Benfica-Santa Clara match was moved to that Friday. Well, if you got tickets and you got a trip booked to come in Saturday morning, then you're out of luck. And there was a whole big thing about it. And technically, you can't blame the clubs because the clubs obviously are in the business of winning. But my advice to you is that if you're going to see a team in European competition, you may want to hold off as long as possible to make sure that when you do buy your ticket, that you know exactly when they're going to be playing in European competition, as well as that weekend in the Liga. Because if you take now, if you're going to go to the, let's say, to a Portugal, and you know you're going to be there Thursday through a week, you know, let's say you spend a week there and you get there Wednesday or Thursday, then obviously it doesn't matter because you're obviously going to make yourself available for any of those days to go to the game. But if you have a short window of a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, because obviously you might be working Monday through Friday, however it works for you, you may want to take a chance, and it may be a little bit more expensive, but you want to make sure that you find out exactly when your team is going to be playing in Europe, not just the week before or if they're playing the week after, because that'll affect the match on the weekend. If they're going to be playing that Tuesday, they're probably going to be playing that Friday. If they wind up playing in Europe that Wednesday, or if they're in the Europa League that Thursday, that means they're probably only going to be playing on Sunday, or in worst case, probably even on a Monday, which, you know, means that you probably have to take off for work Monday and Tuesday if you're working the traditional Monday through Friday schedule. And again, that's something to keep in mind. And obviously, when you play in Portugal, you know, not every stadium is as big as the Dragon, the Luge, or the Alvalade, or even Braga's stadium. They're not as big as the Pedreira. So as a result, you play in smaller stadiums, and therefore there's more ticket demand because there's less tickets. I know last year when Benfica went to Gil Vicente toward the end of the season, tickets were very expensive from what I read in the newspaper. So my advice to you is you plan it out. You wait until you know 100% for sure when they're going to be playing in Europe, if that and your team is going to be in Europe. And then you wait to make sure that you find out the schedule for the weekend, and then you start making plans, even if it's going to cost you. Otherwise, take a whole week off and make sure you're there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday to cover your bases. That's really my big advice to you, because it's very tough when they have to change it to accommodate, because after all, it's a competitive team. It's not a theater. It's not a singing group. It's Sting, and they're playing competitor, and they obviously want to give the players, you know, the rest that they have to have. And then another thing I should also mention to you, something that I regret in the many years that I've been doing Portuguese soccer, like I got 25 years. In my early years, I used to go to Portugal a lot in November. I once spent 2 or 3 years in a row during Thanksgiving in Portugal because you get that Thursday and Friday off. And it was great. I always wound up going there, catching a Champions League game, and it was, you know, and it was in a lot of ways a very good thing. But one of the things that I wish I had done back then, and I do it now, is, you know, I've seen a lot of the big clubs. I've seen Champions League. I've been to Champions League finals. You know, I've been to the one in Berlin. I've been to the one in London when it was Bayern and Dortmund. I'm more interested now in this point in my life in seeing and going to a Barcelos, in going to a Bessa again, in going to see, you know, a match in a Portimão. Take an opportunity as well if you're going to be in for a weekend and go catch another match if it's possible. Maybe a team like Belenenses in the second division, you know. If you're in the Madeira, go watch Nacional or Marítimo. If you're in the Azores, go watch Santa Clara. And I think that you'll enjoy it. look, tickets will be easier to get if the big three or Braga are not playing. And it's also, as you know, I had a great interview about a few months ago with Bushamay Tugon, which is a Twitter and Instagram account about Portuguese food at match day. Very, very compared to, I mean, look, I'm going to the Yankee game tomorrow when I record this. And I'm already expecting that if I buy a burger, it's going to cost me like $20. $20! I'm already expecting that. But that's just the way life goes. And but when you're in Portugal, you have that other benefit. So take my advice on this. I've been doing this for a very long time. Hopefully you have a better experience. I always, like I said, always will go take an opportunity, go see one of the big teams play, but I really go out of my way. I tell the story that I went a few years ago to see a preliminary round Taça da Liga match between Oriental, which is in Lisbon, versus a team called Friamund, which was managed by a young Daniel Ramos. And I was buying Bifanas and Sags Superbach. I think I was buying them for like 2-3 euros each, and I went up like 3 or 4 times. It was great. But again, I realize if you're a fan and your life revolves around one team, I can see where maybe you don't have that interest. But again, things could change as you get older. But that is the Liga schedule. And I think for me, I think that's what's very exciting about the Liga, that, you know, there are the big clubs, but I think you also have, of course, in my opinion, the small clubs. And, you know, they also had the draw for the second division. Obviously, we know about the second division. You got some pretty interesting matchups in the second division. In week one, you got Passos de Ferreira against newly relegated Leiria. Be curious to see in Leiria Stadium, which is one of the bigger stadiums of Portugal, what type of crowd they get as a second division team. Because last year, they had over 20,000 on a few occasions. Santa Clara will be at home to my favorite club in the second division. Turiente, you got FC Porto B at home to Tondela. You got Aves at home to Belenenses. A lot of people, hey, it's in Lisbon. Bastais de Natas is right down the road from the stadium. Pick, grab 2 or 3 Natas, go to the match. Come on, you got nothing to lose. You got Benfica B against Mafra, Nacional, and Marítimo. So you got a Madeira derby right off the bat. Then you have Oliveirense taking on Feirense in the battles of the Ents with the last 4 letters of the name. Then you got Penafiel against Leixões. Leixões with a new manager this year, Pedro Ribeiro. You might remember him. He used to manage Bissad. I think he also managed Penafiel. He was the manager a few years ago that had an issue in the tunnel at Jamor with Sergio Conceição. Académico do Viseu against my other favorite team in the second division. Why? Because I've got a connection to them, and that's with Lenk, Vila Verdeans, who, by the way, will be playing most of their matches this year until they get their stadium up to level for the first division. But Lenk, Vila Verdeans from beautiful Vila Verde. The wine is unbelievable. They are in the. They got permission. They are confirmed for the second division. For a while there, it was getting a little bit nerve-wracking for them. But they're going to be taking on last year's surprise team until the last 5 weeks of the season when Jorge Costa left. In a story that has yet to be told what happened, and that's, of course, Vila Verdeans. So, and by the way, if I do get a chance to go to Portugal, I'm going to try to catch Vila Verdeans. When I talk about going to a small club, there you go. Turiente or Vila Verdeans or Belenenses. You know, if I can't go see one of the bigger clubs, those are the type of matches I'm going to see in the second division, and I'll have just as good of a time. And again, you can see the schedules on PortugueseSoccer.com and obviously Liga Portugal's official website. And also the League Cup schedules came out, and that's the first and the second preliminary rounds. And of course, you could also follow that. And by the way, that's the other thing. If you're in Portugal now at the end of July, because, you know, the Liga doesn't really get going until that second week of August, now you've got other matches you can go to. You know, granted, you might be allegiance to one club, but there you go. The great thing about the League Cup, and enjoy this format because it's going to change next year with only, you know, a different set of clubs, I think the top 8, you now have the opportunity to actually see real matches that count for something with a lot of these first and second division teams playing in the preliminary rounds of the League Cup. And that, folks, is the end of part one of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Part two of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Welcome back, episode 178. So you probably heard that there's a new social media app called Threads, which if you have an Instagram account, you can easily create a Threads. Well, yes, Portuguese Soccer also now has a Thread account, which I'll be working on pretty consistently as well. So if you, first off, you know we have a partner Instagram account, Portuguese underscore soccer_noticias. Well, that's the same address that you could as well find PortugueseSoccer.com on Threads. So I encourage you to give it a follow. Picked up a lot. I think within like the first 2 hours I did it, I think I picked up like 150 followers right away. I was pretty pleasantly surprised. But I know the Portuguese _soccer_noticias account's got a good following there on Instagrams. And obviously, you can also follow PortugueseSoccer.com on Twitter, PSoccerCom. Same thing on Facebook, obviously, PortugueseSoccer.com, the website. And let me also say to you again, thank you for listening to this podcast. And if you're listening to the first time, because every week I have a bunch of new people that DM me or make comments letting me know this is their first time. How can you say thank you? Please give it a follow on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict. The audio as well is on YouTube. I go through a lot of work to put that up there. And for those that do, thank you. And whether you listen for 10 minutes, whether you listen to the whole thing, sincerely, muito obrigado. Really thank you so much. But let's get going talking. First off, some news about clubs playing where they're going to play. I think I just told you a few minutes ago that second division, Lenk Vila Verdense, is going to be playing their matches at Passos de Ferreira Stadium until their stadium gets fixed. So Lenk Vila Verdense will be playing in Passos de Ferreira. Casa Pia has got an interesting situation. You know that they were playing in the Jamor, but the Jamor continues to have challenges. And they're going to be playing 84 kilometers away from their home stadium, which is still being worked on. They're going to be playing 84 kilometers away at Ria Miúda. Let's think about that for a minute. So a tough situation again for Casa Pia as they begin their second season in the first division this time around. And they're going to, if you're a fan, you're going to have to drive 84 kilometers if you live in the Casa Pia area. But, you know, Rio Maior, it's another great area where people can go to watch the games. They have a stadium there. A lot of clubs use the stadium there to train. So that's a very interesting thing regarding the second division and the first division news regarding stadiums. Women's football, good news last week for the women's national team. They played to a 0-0 draw against England. And, well, first off, that's a very good result because England obviously are one of the best women's teams in the world. But a very good result. But there was a little bit of scare for the women's team. Kika Nazareth, who plays for Benfica, she was injured, and that really scared a lot of people, of course, with the World Cup not that far away. But the good news, and obviously we say that because you don't want anybody getting hurt, is that the injury is not serious. She's expected to be okay, and as a result, she will be ready for when Portugal plays. So number one, glad that A, she is not hurt, and B, from that, that she'll be able to play and be one of the first women's players for Portugal to play in a World Cup. So really good news to hear that about Kika Nazareth. And the women's team, they will be playing, the day I dropped this episode, they're going to be playing in Boavista's Bessa against Ukraine in a match, the send-off match, before they move on, after they play Ukraine in the Bessa. And by the way, it's been sold out. Remember last week I was saying to people, hey, if you're in Portugal and you're in the Porto area on a Friday night, go to Boavista's Bessa, support the women. And the good news is that they reported that the game is sold out, so that is some terrific news. And after that, they will then begin their preparations and move on to New Zealand to get ready for the World Cup that'll be coming up here in a few weeks. So that's the women's report. Moving on here with regards to players and managers abroad. The biggest story last week to me, and there's a lot, and I'm not necessarily going to go in the order of importance, but I want to start off first with one of my favorite people in Portugal. May not be yours, and that's JJ Jorge Jesus. All reports had him going to Saudi Arabia, and in the end, he winds up going back to the club that he managed previously in Saudi Arabia, Al Hilal. I think what's going on, in my opinion, is that I do think he's going to manage Saudi Arabia in the World Cup. I believe they will let him go to manage in the World Cup. I think that this is just an opportunity for him now because of all the attention Saudi Arabia is getting with all the buys they're making and how much money they're spending, that they're trying to really pump up. I think Saudi Arabia is rated like 58th in the world, and the goal is to try to get into like the top 10, if I read correctly. But I think Jorge Jesus, in my opinion, I'm going to make a prediction here, will eventually be managing Saudi Arabia. They tend to have a good track record of qualifying in that part of the world for the World Cup. But it kind of came out of the blue because all the reports said that he was going to manage the Saudi Arabia national team and he was going to earn something like 10, 11, 12 million. And then he winds up going to his former club, which is still a good situation. But that was a bit of a surprise. And obviously the other news, we saw Celtic Jota leave Celtic to go to Al Ittihad. He's going to be there with Benzema and Nuno Espirito Santo is the manager. A lot of people, I talked about this last week, question this move, 24 years old. Is this the right time? I mean, he became a legend at Celtic, which, by the way, is a big club in Scotland. I think financially they're stronger than any of our Portuguese clubs, but a club that has dominated Scottish soccer. And don't laugh at that because, you know, we're obviously only dominated by three teams in Portugal and they're only dominated by two teams in Scotland. It's a surprise. But at the end of the day, you cannot begrudge anybody looking to make more money. Had he not gone for this opportunity, he might not have gotten it again. But at the end of the day, it's a big offer for him. And he's going to play in a country that's got a lot of Portuguese already. You know, when you look at the players, I was actually looking at this. I want to kind of share this with you, the incredible amount of players. So with Al Ittihad, you've got Jota, Helder Costa, and Nuno Espirito Santo. With Al Nassr, you got, of course, Luis Castro, who's now the new manager and has taken over the team. He left Botafogo. A lot of fans were upset at Botafogo. He's now with Al Nassr, which is, by the way, in Portugal, in Algarve training. And obviously, you got Cristiano Ronaldo and Luis Castro now with Al Nassr. With Al Khalil, now you've got Jorge Jesus and Ruben Neves. With Al Tai, you have Alfa Semedo. If I recall correctly, that was the kid, I think, that played at Vitória Guimarães. You got a lot of play. You got a lot with Al Khalik. Look, don't expect me to get these names right. My apologies. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. You got Portuguese manager, of course, the one of the Porto players, all-time record holders for matches played for Porto, Pedro Emmanuel with 1M. Then you got players Pedro Rabocho, Ivo Rodriguez, Fabio Martins, and Pedro Amaral. And then you look at it, you've also got Jorge Mendoza as a manager of a club there. You got Philip Gouveia as a manager. Afonso Teira, who played for some of the smaller club Portugals, he's there. And again, I'm not going to do a good job of pronouncing the name, so bear with me. Paulo Gomes is in the second division over there in Saudi Arabia. Kim Machado, I remember Kim Machado managing in Portugal. I think he briefly managed at one time Braga, and I think Guimarães and Feirense. I remember. José Garrido, who's been in the Middle East for a few years. These are some of the Portuguese. There's a lot. And look, good money, chance to set up your family, which you can make there. You could probably, what you make in Saudi Arabia in 1 year, you probably make in 10, especially if you're not in one of the bigger clubs in Portugal. You got to do what you got to do. You know, you can only be a player for 7 good 8 years before you can make very, very good money. But again, a lot of people still scratching their heads whenever, a player like Ruben Neves goes, or in this case, Celtic's Jota. But that's the story with Saudi Arabia. We also saw Thiago Tomás officially be bought out by Wolfsburg. So he goes from one club in Germany to another. Stories about Daniel Podence, that Batiste may be in the market for him per Pedro Sepulveda, the great Portuguese predictor of these things, and the insider, Arp Fabrício Romano. I've never met him, but I think he does a great job. But Daniel Podence is getting, there's some serious talks with Real Batiste, which is where, of course, William Carvalho plays. And William Carvalho has been linked with Saudi Arabia, but I haven't heard anything about that of late. And then, of course, the other big news in terms of players that was abroad and now retired, and that is, of course, the Portuguese goalkeeper, Beto, who played in a lot of clubs in Portugal, most recently also played in Finland. He also announced his retirement after so many years. Also, other news in Portugal, Rui Borges, again, is the new manager of Moreirense, and I told you about Pedro Ribeiro of Leixões. Those are some of the new changes, recent changes to managers in the second division. But let's get going now and talk about the big three report, and obviously the big story. We'll start off with the defending champions. I'll go in that order. And that is, of course, that Di Maria has been presented at Benfica. A lot of attention given to this. Look, I like this idea that he's with Benfica. He's the type of player that maybe in a Champions League quarterfinal could help, maybe if Benfica's back in that position again, maybe he can help put Benfica over the top, maybe with his experience. I like it for that reason. But I've had some people ask me, they say, is this the biggest player whether it's a returner or whether it's somebody that used to play at an incredibly high level to ever come back to Portugal, that, you know, it's, you know, we're used to selling players. We're not used to players of a high level that are still be getting offers from big clubs in Europe coming to Portugal. It's usually more people leave, the talent, more talent leaves than it comes into Portugal on the transfer market. And I got some people asking, you know, some people say, you know, do you think this is the biggest player to ever come to Portugal, especially among the foreign players? And I thought about it, and when I think about anybody, and I'm including a lot of people in this, you know, I put out a tweet, I got some terrific responses, by the way. I'm actually going to check it out while I'm here talking to you. But to me, the biggest player, in my opinion, and by the way, for people that lose sleep over hearing an opinion and don't like it and get upset, this is just all my opinion. That's all it is. I think to me, there's a bunch of players that you could say that have come back when they could have probably stayed abroad. Schmeichel, Casillas. Peter Schmeichel, of course, played at Sporting. Casillas, obviously, you know, with Porto. Obviously, Di Maria. Aimar was another example. I asked people, well, who's missing from this on Twitter? And people suggested Rui Costa or Pep, who, by the way, I had initially on my list, and I was going to include him, including Pep, but I was confused. Well, they're Portuguese, and they're coming back anyway. But Pep, you could definitely say that, and Rui Costa, because both of them had opportunities abroad. Michel Preud'homme, the great Belgium goalkeeper from another time. That was a very, very good one. Some people have said Josi Pereira, Alberto Acosta. Alberto Acosta was a terrific, I think he, if I remember correctly, he was an Argentinian striker who in his day for Sporting was a terrific player. One of the Sporting games I went to see that I took my uncle to in the old Alfalad, if I remember correctly, Beto Acosta had a brace. And I always tell the story. We went back to, this is, of course, my uncle that lives in Torres Vedras, and some of his neighbors went with us, and we all went back, and we were eating chorizo and cheese, talking about the game at 11 o'clock at night in his house. It's one of the great things when when you're not in Portugal year-round, you miss when people go back. And I look back at that night, got to see a great game, got to go home and around these people and eat good old-fashioned Portuguese food. But I remember Beto Acosta. Simão. I think you could definitely say Simão on that list. Julio Cesar was another one that people said was big, came back when he didn't have to. Saviola. And then you got Saviola. People Poborski, that's a good one. Claudio Canizia. I remember Claudio Canizia. Jonas. Jonas, I mean, he had a good thing, but I'd say Canizia was big and Poborski. Another person says Rui Costa and Pep. But people ask me, who was, in my opinion, the biggest player to come to Portugal while he still was in his prime and surprise a lot of people? And a lot of people say, wow, yeah, but I mean, look at Di Maria. Look how much attention he's getting. Well, Di Maria is growing up in the attention of social media. That's not fair that you use that. But to me, when I think of basic media coverage, I think it was Peter Schmeichel. You know, he had been a legend at Manchester United. And to me, he was, in my opinion, of all the ones that I just discussed and some of you discussed on Twitter, replying to the tweet, I think he was the biggest player. Other news about Benfica, Thiago Santos, who they wanted from Estoril to help replace Grimaldo. He was sold by Estoril to Lille for like $6.5 million. Nelson Verissimo, who managed Estoril last year, and of course you remember him when he was Benfica's interim manager on two occasions. Well, he's back at Benfica. It's official. He is the B team manager. It's his third time that he will be the manager of the B team. Moving on to Porto, obviously the big news was Fran Navarro. This was, again, a transfer that had been talked about almost happening on the last day of the transfer window in January, and then he stayed. I think we look back at this now and think that there was some type of deal done, but they decided to keep him there in Gil Vicente because he scored like 70% of their goals last year. They would have been relegated without him, and probably Porto felt like we need to keep him there. But now he is a full Porto player in a very, very good deal. A lot of Sporting fans, by the way, are upset because I think Porto bought him for like 6, 7 million. And Sporting fans, who, by the way, Sporting hasn't done any transactions yet, which is hard to believe, but I think they eventually will, are asking, wait, Porto get Fran Navarro for 6, 7 million, and we couldn't do that? But then there are reports that Ruben Amorim wasn't interested in Fran Navarro for whatever reason, and as a result, Fran Navarro is headed to Porto. But that's Sporting right now doesn't have anybody. So sticking out with Sporting, we saw the video of Ferrandis coming back from England. The Swedish striker Goyerks continues to garner a lot of attention. We'll see if, in fact, he does come. But this has been a story that has just been dragged out. And quite frankly, I'm getting sick of it. He's either going to come or not. Some reports say, you know, the Portuguese thing about the media and even the unofficial media on social media do this is when people report he's getting close. 2 days later, he's getting close. Week later, when people forget about him, hey, Goyers, he's getting close. I mean, and people fall for it. Well, I think that Coventry is going to get their money. They're going to wait this out the whole summer and make Sporting sweat. But at the end of the day, the report maybe that's most reliable is that Sporting and Coventry are separated by $3 million. Gusalu Inacio, Sporting has said, you want him? $45 million. Otherwise, don't talk to us. So we'll see. Sporting's also looking at Jose Angel, a right back for Sevilla. A surprise since he's a right back that Benfica's not being linked for him to replace Grimaldo. Or will he be in the next week or so? Well, if you did, you heard here first, because that's usually how it works in Portugal. When one club shows interest, a few days later, you hear about the next Portuguese club as well. Neto renewed for another year, no surprise. He's somebody that can help him in the back, and obviously they need to be careful in case they lose Sebastian Guatr. And St. Juste, one day the media say 100% good to go. And then the next day he's got a report of an injury. So St. Juste has been hampered by injuries. We saw how well he played against Arsenal, his speed. But in every other situation, it hasn't quite worked out. But at the end of the day, you don't want anybody hurt. You hope that he gets better. Braga, Ricardo Horta made news this week. First off, Braga this year, in this transfer window, I've already spent $12.5 million. That is their record, and we still have a good 5 weeks left in the summer transfer window. So a big move by Braga trying to step it up, especially because, remember, they're going to be trying to qualify for the Champions League. And by the way, you Porto, Benfica Sporting fans, let's all get behind Braga and hope that they qualify, because that would be a very good thing in Portugal. You want a Portuguese team playing in the Champions League, although some would say you'll probably earn more points being in the Europa. And, of course, the points for the Champions League are the same as Europa. But, you know, I like to see Braga. I think if we want to see more competition in Portugal and if Braga becomes a bigger club, I think that would be a very, very good thing. And another big news this week, I don't know if it was sarcasm, but apparently Ricardo Horta was a bit surprised that Cerqueira is making a move to Turkey. Cerqueira has been injured, hasn't seen a whole lot of action, but that came as a surprise to Ricardo Horta. And wrapping it up here, you know, I just told you about Braga's Horta, and I'm going to end this episode like I always do, talking about my club, Athletico dos Arcos. And the update I have this week is that I have no update. They are still, they got their new manager. What happens at this time of the year is, you know, they kind of have an idea of some of the players, you know, who probably already live in Arcos de Valdevez and are working jobs. But now it's the question of, is the players that they're probably waiting on that maybe don't get a contract with the third or fourth tier. And some of those players tend to drop down looking for jobs in the first, in the fifth tier. And I think that's what everybody is waiting for. And let me give a shout out to Mike72 on YouTube. Thank you for your compliments. And I'm mentioning you among my listeners because apparently his father, he told me his father, birthplace was Arcos de Valdevez. So, Mike, Forza Arcos. That's a great post there, and I'm glad that you are now following PortugueseSoccer.com on YouTube and listening to the podcast there. So thank you, man. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that. Folks, that's going to wrap up episode 178 of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast, your weekly roundup, review, preview, and, of course, opinion of what's going on in Portugal and abroad with our players. Folks, take care of yourselves. Take care of your families. Stay away from that hot sun. And I'll talk to you soon. Ciao, everybody.